I wonder, in thought, in theory, in reason, also within the way that I walk, I discover I'm alive. I turn over the leaf, I flip over the rock, I looked at what's underneath of it, I look up, I look down. I've been crawling at points, but yet at most occasions I walk outright, and in some cases I run. But I wonder, and when I say I wonder, the anti-Semitism, we're referencing Israel, what's happening, what's going on, we're against a certain race, a certain cult and culture. Immediately my thought and logic processing system goes straight to the fact of where is God? Where's my advocate? Where's the good counsel of Christ, my Savior, Redeemer, the one that I seek? I seek and ye shall find, right? And asking you shall receive. What am I looking for? What does God want me to see? And where is he within this picture? When I turn it into what's about me and I make it about what I want, and let's be honest, right? We are creatures, we're human beings, we know that we're going to fail, but we have emotional attachment to personal preferences, ethnicities, race, morality, culture, and what we find to be divinity, divinity in the sense of eternity, then it is defining. But anytime it's defining, it's acceptance or denial, there's a limitation, and it's not of God, because God is love, and love is unconditional. It knows no boundaries, limitations, or restrictions. So where I'm at within the processing of that, and you can get them off me, kill, fill, home, upside down, where I'm at within the processing of that is immediately the mindset of how do I know this is not of God? Because if I can only give credit to God for it being of gospel, of praise, and being something that's relevant, then I'm not capable of giving it back to myself. And think about what I'm saying, and it is a sense of relevancy. With God, even the light shines within the iniquity. My darkest hour, Hail Mary, if you would, while I'm down on my knees. Yes, holding of the cross, the beads, counting it, of course. But it becomes iniquity, or creature takes possession of it when it's about us. So I trust and confide in God even when it's wrong. But wait, I'm not God. I'm not the giver and taker of life. And as far as forgiveness goes, Christ himself, I am forgiven. I am redeemed. It's gotta be about what? About the life that I've given and the life that I've received. I can't make it about me or about creature, or I've lost hope in general. So whether it's right or whether it's wrong cannot be any emotional attachment, theory, reason, philosophical advantage, or disadvantage in the way that I perceive the world. If my deception lacks the acceptance of God and Christ, then I'm no more the fool being led astray. But who asked you to walk down that road? Nobody than me, myself. At the end of the day, you're still going to be accountable for the decisions that you've made. You proclaim what's right to you. If it's a denial of Christ and it's a denial of acceptance of God, and you don't find it to be enlightening and moving, then that's back to you. I personally, forgive me, I confide in God. I don't confide in creature. I confide in Christ. The chains of sin and wickedness and death have been lifted off of me. So when something bad happens in the world, it's God's way of working miracles, even when it experiences inequity. And should we educate about it? You create a society to where everybody has a knife, they have a torch, they have a gun, weapons if you would. They have words to use against one another. They have a pitchfork. Here we come. Some of us even have tails and little horns, and we breathe fire, and it gets very exciting. It's dramatic. But create a world where everybody has a weapon of mass destruction. And who are they against? Themselves, one another, and they're against God, and they're against Christ, the creator that they have, and the life that they're leading and living. Create a world to where all they have is love, is joy, is happiness, is forgiveness to give. They proclaim the faith. They don't need to testify it nor confess it. They live within it. They walk within that repentance, within the joy, the happiness, the salvation through the body and the blood. Yes, of course, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Then you'll find sustainment. But to educate one another in the sense of hate or opposition or how we should retaliate because we need our voices to be heard. God speaks volume through me, heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed. He moves within the heart, the soul, the mind, what he has given me. I know that he works miracles through me. When I have stumbled, when I have fallen, twists, setbacks, failures, when I've been turned outright upside down, I know he's smiling down on me because he still works within me. I trust in that sense of confinement. But when it comes about us, when it comes about creature, and we should educate one another, weapons of mass destruction can be as simple as a word. And when somebody else hears that word, they don't like it. And I don't do words, by the way, so don't take it to that literal mindset of bondage and condemnation. Remember, I live a life that is not condemned. I believe that God is love. And to me, my interpretation and the way that I actually live, not perception, I actually live this way, I walk within acts, is that love knows no boundaries. It doesn't have any restrictions, and it doesn't conform to no's. It, yes, consent is very valuable, but love knows no boundaries or limitations. So awkwardly enough, I can find love within transgression. I can find love in salvation. I can find love in inequity. Why? Because I know that it still goes back to God and Christ. By the way, have you ever tried to fight a world war? You ever heard of Christ, by the way? He's already won every war. He hung on the cross, salvation. He is redeemed. He is saved. Because of him, we don't have anything to worry about. The moment you stop trusting in the promise, the great inheritance, then the promise isn't relevant anymore. How do you know that it isn't relevant? Because I don't believe in it, because I don't walk within that life, because it's the purest form of testament. So concern gets turned into worry, which is obligation, which is a lack of acceptance, which is denial of God in Christ for that very reason. So me, myself, I can't confine to bondage, to inequity, or to being upheaved or turned upside down for the reason being that I don't have it to give. Think about forgiveness. What a very, very good example. Profound. Yes, of course. Think about forgiveness. Very, very good example. I receive forgiveness from Christ. I am very, very fortunate to give it back to him with everything that I have, to be forgiven, to be redeemed, to be blessed each and every day. I can't be cursed. I can't be condemned, being put in shackles and chains. I don't put others in shackles and chains. I don't possess the power, the ability, the jurisdiction, the notoriety to be capable of giving and taking life, nor am I capable of giving forgiveness. I'm not the creator, nor am I the leader, the salvation, and the shepherd, if you would, the counsel, the advocate, Christ himself, our Lord, forgive me. So I don't have any of those talents and abilities. But when there's an emotional attachment to what they're capable of, and I view where creature stands within that mindset, of course, I can only take myself to heaven, bear my own cross, or bear witness to my own inequities, then it only makes things worse for me. A diluted sense of forgiveness is never going to work. Yet creature's form of love is not available on the menu, because the only thing that's available today is God. And it's outright blunt. Blunt in what way? It's either acceptance or denial. Do you seek life, or do you seek death? And in either way, you're seeking God, because you seek God in life and you seek God in death. So denial of his presence or of the forgiveness, I think, is where we find ourselves. And not humbly, like we're down on our knees, right? We're questioning the existence of faith and being derogatory in that sense of deliverance. It can't be right for me, but it needs to be right for you, and vice versa. Loss is not loss unless it's not about him. Remember, it's not yours. And what does that mean? We spend our whole life worrying about the gains that we can have, what our possessions are, and where it's going to take us, only to find out we're giving it back to him. The reason we're alive, the creator, the savior, the redeemer, the giver and taker of life. Quickly address it, if you would. Promptly stand outright and walk within it. Think about what I'm saying. Not creature taken, but God given. How do you know that it's God given? Because he's working miracles through me so that I can continue to give. Reap and you shall sow. The same score measure that you use, you proclaim it, you testify it, you walk within those acts, the laboring of deeds, it's the same measure that'll be used for you. If you're given, you're probably going to receive. But if you don't give, you're probably never going to receive. So let us not be invested in trials, in tribulations, in sin, in inequity. Wash me and cleanse me, my heart, soul, and mind. Come into my heart, soul, and mind. Save me, redeem me. But let us steer clear of the ones that shatter the foundation, to where the cracks get cracked and the light doesn't shine through. And here comes the darkness and the storms and Hail Mary in the hour of death. And here comes the darkness. Let us stand true on the solid foundation of God in Christ and be true to him. Let the notoriety of life itself, the blessing that we have received, the reason why breath was put into our lungs, be no more than the confession that it is yours. I'm giving it back to you, and you are the reason. So the Semitism, I don't like you. I don't like that your hair curls, the hat that you wear, the version and the denominational factor is completely irrelevant. When we possess the ability to love, but we choose hate over love because I am scorned, I am bitten. You don't look the way that I look. Your skin might be a different color. The way that you talk sounds different than the way that I talk. Your interpretation of it is completely different than mine. It's completely irrelevant. God will and shall remind us each and every day, Lord, forgive me, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that they, the world, may believe that you have sent me, John 17:21. We're united. It's not our personal preferences that divide us. It's Him that bring us back together. We don't have a point to prove, and there's nothing worse in this world than having a point to prove with nobody to prove it to. So let us be reminded of what He's did for us. As a whole, as united, as nations, multitudes of nations, jurisdictions, there is no limitations of His love. But yes, of course, we've still been given that light, that light that lights up the inside of us and heart, soul, mind, and thought, word, and deed. We are alive, we are embraced, and we're taking it to that level. So stand firm within His counsel. Let my soul come not until their counsel, O my glory, be not joined to their company, for in their anger they killed men, and their willfulness they were not united by faith with those who listened. Very, very good. Think about what I'm saying. For good news came to us just as them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Think about what I'm saying. And we take it there though, don't we? Don't we take it there and it's relevant to us because it's relevant to Him? So we don't need to be led astray and we don't want to be led astray. It's relevant to those that are capable of being within it. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1:10. In the same mind, in the same judgment. I don't have a point to prove, and I'm not going to be pointing the finger. So I'm going to wrap this up. This will just be a quick addition to today because of a session. Let me close this up in prayer. Lord, forgive me. Our graciously Heavenly Father and Christ, our Savior, Redeemer, let us not be divided. Let us be united. Let us not look at the score, the lash, the measure, the inequity, the sin, the wickedness that divides us, but let us continue to seek to provide unconditional love, faith, repentance, joy, happiness, what we've got to give. Let it be a reminder to us that what we've given and what we've received is something that we're capable of giving and helping for others within the lines of unconditional, blameless, no excuses, and consent. Let us each and every day look to find love, to find compassion, to find joy, and to find Christ's interest within every enactment. Remind us of Christ standing at the door. And you heard what I said. Your spouses are standing at the door and so are your children. You open the door, your lunch pail, your Bible's in your hand. You're walking there, you're looking. And there's only one question. Did you find Christ today? Because if you lost Christ, you shall turn around and don't come back here until you're bringing Christ back into this household. Excuse me, am I doing something wrong? Doing something wrong? Why are you not including God and Christ in our relationship? Am I doing something wrong? Don't forget to bless, to redeem, to look out for one another, and to joyfully, carefully offer help in any way, shape, and form. Wash us and cleanse us of our sins and iniquities, and continue to give us guidance, knowledge, love, passion, devotion, to be capable of embracing what you've given us with love, with compassion, with grace, with interest, knowledge, and growth. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Christ our Savior's name we pray, amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Truth for Life Ministries, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Be sure to follow. Thank you for the donations, the supports. Have a very, very blessed day. God bless you.